Welcome back to another episode of the Pax What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Pierre Goldstein. Certainly not a game we're super excited to talk about. Figured it would be a close one, but almost too eerily similar to that week four showdown, despite looking incredibly different on paper. Yeah, tough Packers loss here, obviously falling by two yet again to the Vikings, score ending at 27-25. Vikings converted a third down when they needed to keep the chains moving. And we kind of said it on the preview show, right? It felt like one of those games where whoever had the ball last was going to come away with a win. And both teams certainly had opportunities to put up more points, takeaways. None of those things happened. And that's where we're left, is this kind of weird, wonky game that felt very lopsided. And I think the score, truthfully, was a little bit closer than maybe it looked watching the game for all four quarters.
Yeah. I don't know what my takeaway is here, to be honest. Like, it's hard watching the Packers not show up against good teams right off the bat. Like, you look at the second half and what they were able to do and the way Jordan was able to settle in against the blitz and the pressures that Flores was sending his way, and think, why couldn't you have done this for the whole game? I didn't expect them to go in and like beat down on the Vikings necessarily. They're a very good team. They're vying for the one seed for a reason. But it's kind of the same self-inflicted wounds that we've been seeing all season. You know, Josh Jacob has a pretty uncharacteristic fumble on what was the start of a very promising early drive. And, you go down and you score on that first one 7-0, and it just dictates the rest of the game when they're up. So to me, and I still feel this way, even though it ended up being close, there's, I guess, the two big takeaways are, one, I don't know how far the Packers can go in the playoffs if they play like this.
Yeah,
I think they could win a wild card game. They could potentially sneak out of a division round game, but like, that isn't a team that's going to win a Super Bowl given the contenders they have in the NFC. But is that this team is super resilient, and even when they get down, like at halftime, you cannot count them out until literally the last buzzer. And I think teams play them that way. You see it in this game and the Lions game. They always have the chance to come back and win a game, which is why I think, you know, they can win a wild card game. They could win a division round game. Like, they are a tough, gritty football team. I just think they're missing. There are a few key things away. I have some ideas for the offseason I'm already starting to think about, of like changes I'd potentially want to see, but they're not there yet.
Yeah. And I mean, I think one of the things the themes that I've seen talking about this Packers team is that there hasn't been like a signature moment, like a defining win or a signature moment in the season that felt like it galvanized them to the point where you're like, okay, they can contend. And that's one of the things that we said going into this game, right? Is it's going to tell us a lot about where they stack up in the postseason. If they go into US Bank, which is a really hostile place to play, and come out with a win, even in a close game, it shows you where they stack up. And, you know, still they're looking at 11-5, potentially going 12-5 with their five losses coming against the three top seeds in the NFC. Obviously, we know one of those teams is going to be the fifth seed, but it's hard because the Packers are a very good football team. But I just don't know if you can put them in that great category. And I think that's what Xavier McKinney said really well post game was, you know, the reporters asked him, like, where do you stack up? Do you consider yourself on the same caliber as these teams? And he was like, well, we'd love to say that, but since we haven't beat them, we can't in good faith say that. So, I mean, they know what's in front of them. They know what's at stake. Yeah. And unfortunately, they didn't get any help either on Sunday Night Football. So it looks like now the Packers are going to end up being the seventh seed, unless Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys do the Packers a favor and they take care of business against the Bears and sneak into the sixth seed, but probably starting your wild card weekend in Philly. So it's not going to get any easier here, this Packers team. Like, they're starting out of the gate as what Mina Kimes said on the show is probably their toughest matchup in the playoffs.
I it's funny, like the Packers are the fourth best team in the NFC. Like that's just what they are. And I was talking about this with my family watching the game last night, and it's like they're not a bad team. They're not you know you don't want to spiral out of control. They're the fourth best team in the NFC with in just an unfortunately supremely top heavy NFC this season and a top heavy division. They are competing against two other teams in their division. I mean, the Lions and the Vikings are about to duke it out for the one seed, right? The Packers are 11-5 after this weekend. That should easily be a division winning record, and it's just not. So instead of in any other season potentially getting the four seed or the three seed and having a home game in the wild card round, you're in a really unfortunately precarious position to really no fault of your own other than the surrounding factors. And I think it's had made them like elevate up to another level or forced them to try, but they just haven't been able to go over that hump and beat those teams. Now, there's a few things that happened in this Vikings game that I didn't necessarily love, but at the same time, like the Packers are fully capable of beating the team in front of them without any of those other extenuating factors affecting them.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things that we kind of have to talk about going into this one or coming out of this one, I should say, it's just the defense, right? Like it's, you know, the Packers have been playing really cohesive football the last 4 or 5 weeks against decent football teams, right? The Dolphins now are looking like they could potentially luck into a playoff spot, but like they weren't playing world beaters. The team that they lost to during that stretch was of course the Lions. And that was a really close game, but the Packers are banged up now, and that's an unfortunate place to be in because, as we saw, the Vikings are a really healthy football team. The Eagles are poised, hopefully, you know, for them to get Jalen Hurts back, and then they're a relatively healthy. This hopes for going into this one, and they were without Jair Alexander, they were without Quay Walker, they were without Evan Williams, and then to make matters worse, and you know, for as much as you know, it's not like we're crowning Zane Anderson anything, but Zane Anderson was their starting deep safety. And then they lose him early in the game on special teams. And that throws off your entire secondary, right? Because Javon Bullard came back, was playing in the nickel, and then you have to move him to deep. And then you've got Eric Stokes on the boundary. And it just threw off, I think, the entire rhythm of the secondary. And it's not like they were playing incredibly, but it certainly changes how you plan to go into that game and a lot of the coverages that I think we saw. So just it kind of felt like some of those things were insurmountable, and maybe one at a time you could have managed those, but everything compounding made it really challenging for them to get back into this one.
I agree, but I still think the defense played well. I don't know if I would. I mean, it's hard because they held the Vikings, a very good offense, to sub 30 points, a team that's been putting up numbers. They kept their offense in it the whole game. Unfortunately, they couldn't make a third down stop when it counted. They still are not generating the level of pressure that I think a championship level defense needs. And to your point, they're at a place where the injuries, again, are concerning when you go up against some of the better receiving cores in the league. You could see on a lot of those plays, right, the level of care and changes they have to make for Justin Jefferson leaves, you know, the rest of Minnesota's receiving options open wide. We saw it on the Naylor touchdown. It was like a perfect example. You're going to see that against the Eagles. You're going to see that against the Lions. You know, you're going to see that against these top teams. So the personnel, the lacking of personnel to make adjustments for those, again, it's just a concern to make some kind of playoff push. Edgerrin Cooper is a star, but he can only make so many TFLs if the rest of the defense, you know, can't make a stop. They got aided by two missed field goals as well. I don't know. I think for me, this one is more on the offense's inability to get into a rhythm, and to capitalize on the stops that the defense did make, because they did give them, you know, opportunities to do so. That's why they couldn't come back in this one. Not necessarily the defense, because Minnesota was going to move the ball. Like that was inevitable, right? But the offense needed to capitalize, and they couldn't.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, talking about the personnel issues that we saw on the defensive side of the ball, the same kind of holds for the offensive side of the ball. And I know you had put this out there on Blue Sky, and you've been adamant about this all season. Yeah. The thought that Christian Watson is wide receiver one. And I think that's really interesting. And, you know, I'll give you the floor to talk about why, but I think it's so hard for me to call any of them the wide receiver one, because I think if Jaden Reed was out, we'd have a similar issue. We saw similar issues with Romeo Doubs. Like the offense to me functions the best when the three of those guys are out there. And when any one of them is missing, it's like it throws off the offense that Matt LaFleur wants to run. And I just don't know if that's a sustainable way to run an offense, right? Like typically you have a focal point, and if you have three focal points, as helpful as it can be to have three weapons, it also makes it more challenging to try to balance out when one of those three pieces is missing.
Yeah. It's not to say that I think Christian is wide receiver one in the true sense of what a wide receiver one is, like your X receiver, your Devonta Adams. That's not really my argument. My argument is that when you look at the individual pieces on the Packers offensive roster and you think about who is impacting the defense the most, like who opens things up for this offense, it's Josh Jacobs. And then after Josh Jacobs, to me, it's Christian Watson. And his ability to stretch the field and to open things up, like the underneath stuff for this Packers offense, is invaluable. And so when he's missing, the defense can play all of that. They can play man coverage like tighter on these wide receivers. And the receivers other than Doubs are dropping passes. Like they're not playing well against man coverage. So without Christian Watson, I think defenses just play them tighter and faster and more aggressively. He just, with and without him, is kind of a night and day difference in what this offense looks like. And that's why I think he is so like instrumental. It's not to say that he's, you know, but he is this season. I mean, he's had 150 yard games multiple times this season. So like he is putting up important stats, but he's there in the run game and he's there in decoy. And I think more than anything in decoy is what opens things up for Romeo Doubs. It's what opened things up for Jaden Reed. It's what opens up the run game. Like that's not to say that Josh Jacobs didn't have a good day, but it's that linchpin of Christian Watson's speed, that changes the offense. And it's so stark to me when he doesn't play.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's certainly, I don't want to call it like a Matt LaFleur issue, because I think Matt LaFleur is one of the best head coaches in the NFL and I will always stand by that. But the offense changes, I think, depending on how the last drive went. And it certainly doesn't necessarily feel like a good way to live, right? We saw the Packers just pounding the ball with Josh Jacobs in that opening drive. And then, of course, he had the untimely fumble that likely would have led to at least three, if not a touchdown. And you're looking at a different outcome. And then they get the ball on their second drive and it's like three shot plays and they don't convert anything. And it's like, I just don't understand the tendencies to go away from what's working. The offense starts to feel very predictable. Like I don't know if you noticed or thought this yourself, but when the Packers had the third and five and they took like a 40-yard deep shot,
my God.
It's like we knew it was coming. And if we knew it was coming, you know, and to the
double coverage also.
The Vikings defense is incredible. Brian Flores is incredible. And especially when the Vikings get to play with a lead, they can do whatever exotic stunts they're looking at. And they made it a really long day for Jordan Love and the offense. And Jordan Love said, like, our receivers have to win, and they couldn't win. Like that's a Brian Flores thing. That's not necessarily Matt LaFleur. And I think that goes back to your point about missing Christian Watson, but the stuff that was working, they just got away from it so soon. And it made it, you know, once you fall into the pit, it's really hard to dig back out.
Yeah. That's why I think it's really hard to pinpoint like one particular thing as like the mm-hmm. reason why they lost this game, because I don't think there is one. I think it's you're down Matt LaFleur or Jordan. I don't know if there's checks at the line or there's RPOs and he's going past instead of, I don't know what the choices are there. They start to get away from the core of the offense, if you will. And I think too, like, again, you just like tip your cap at Brian Flores and this mm-hmm. defense. I mean, they're one of the best in the league, top three for a reason. But I think the Packers offense, like, they have the tools in their arsenal to have beat some of these things. The other thing we haven't talked about, which I was thinking all game, was I thought the offensive line played terribly in this game. They couldn't pass protect for shit. And, you know, Jordan can't step up into his throws and he's backpedaling. And we know how Jordan plays when he doesn't have his feet set appropriately and not good. So the Vikings like literally did everything right to just like make the Packers offense like get off kilter, and it worked. And again, they were able to come back kind of at the end because this is a good offense, right? And they can put up points and they will put up points, but to win this game, they had to have gotten into a rhythm way earlier. And I do think like it is a Matt LaFleur thing. You should have been prepared for the kind of things that Brian Flores was going to throw at you. And I just don't, it just didn't feel like they were.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's what makes it so challenging to predict where this Packers team can go, because you're ending the season at home at Lambeau against the Bears, who are a 4-12 team on a 10 game losing streak. Like, if they don't go into that game and win by like 30 points, you know, how good do you really feel? Right. Like it's not like you're going into, this was the perfect game, I should say, for them to start their playoff stretch. It was a hostile environment. You were going up against one of the best teams in the NFL, and that's a game that you could hang your hat on, and that would be the signature win that's been missing from this team all season. If they host a game at Lambeau against a really not good football team, and okay, you know, they win the game, even if it is really convincingly, like, how good truly do you feel still going to Philly wildcard weekend? And I think that's kind of what we're waiting to see from this Packers team is, can they win tough football games? Yes, I fully believe that they can, but they have to play a heck of a lot cleaner and a lot better than they have been. But I mean, what? It's 5 losses by a cumulative 22 points. Like, that's insane. It kind of is like the 2010 Packers that lost all those games by one score. Like, they're right in the thick of things, but at some point you have to be able to get over the hump.
Yes. Yes. I mean, again, like, if the Packers go into the postseason and just put it all together, right, and don't do any of the things that we've been saying they've been doing wrong, they have every ability to beat any team in front of them. They do have the personnel on offense, catch the ball. They have the coach who can scheme things up. They have the quarterback with the arm. They have the run game. You got a few of those pieces back on defense. Your concern is the pass rush. Who knows, any given Sunday, but the way that they've played against the better, and I don't know if I even include the Eagles game because it was just, it feels like such an outlier week one in Brazil, but the way that they've played in the two games against the Lions and the Vikings, you get yourself into that kind of hole in the playoffs and you give your opponent in the playoffs, who everyone at that point has something to play for, the opportunity to, you know, play that level of aggression against you, it's probably not going to end well.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that there's, you know, every team in this NFC playoff picture, you know, we joked a couple weeks ago that like, oh, who's going to win this division? Who's going to win that? Like, there's no layups either. It's not like, I'm not sure at this point that being the sixth seed and going to the Rams with the streak that the Rams have been on would have been much easier than facing Philly, right? Or, you know, the way that the Buccaneers have been playing and just dominating and putting up a ton of points. I'm not sure being the fifth seed would have been an easy route, but I think that's perfect for what we want to see out of this Packers team, right? I don't know who said it on Blue Sky, but somebody was like, to get to the Super Bowl, you got to beat them all eventually, right? So why does it matter where you start? You know, you don't necessarily want to have to start the second seed just for obvious playoff reasons, but the Packers, I think, they've shown that they can do it. It's just,
I'm sorry. I want to go back to something. I thought that all they had to do was win against the Bears, and they are the sixth seed. So I'm confused how they're all of a sudden the seventh seed.
They needed the Commanders to lose. The Commanders have tiebreakers with like strength of schedule. And because they likely are both going to finish with the same record, the Commanders would have the sixth seed. So we needed the Falcons to beat the Commanders yesterday. But the Packers still technically, if the Packers win and the Commanders win, the Commanders are the sixth seed. They have the tiebreakers. But if the Cowboys beat the Commanders and the Packers win, then the Packers finish as the sixth seed.
Wow. I didn't even know that that was possible. The Packers could be the seventh seed.
Yeah. So the Packers are not in control of their own destiny at this point.
Huh.
They need some help from Big Mike.
Woof. Don't feel great about that. Okay. Thank you for explaining that for all of our listeners and for myself. Well, it would be crazy if the seventh seed Packers did what they did last season and went and knocked off the top seed, but I just don't know if I see that happening now.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of, you know, what, because my dad asked me going into this game, like, he was like, what's your vibe on this Packers team? And I was like, I really think if they go out and they have like a signature win against the Vikings and they put it all together, like everything we've seen the last 5 weeks continues, then I feel like it's like Super Bowl or bust, right? Because they've proven they can beat the Vikings. They would have some tiebreakers. They'd be in the driver's seat, I guess, in the wild card, and the path gets simpler. But when you go in and you don't put up more than 3 points in the first half of the game, and then you have to kind of scratch and claw your way back into the second half, it's just hard to imagine being able to do that against the elite playoff teams that they're going to be seeing. So
yeah,
we'll see. Obviously, we're hoping that the Packers get healthy. We'll see how they look in week 18 hosting the Bears. But yeah, probably the last home game at Lambeau for the remainder of the season. Not even a glimmer if they're the seventh seed of hosting anything in the playoffs. So lots to fall into place, I guess, still. Lots of seeding going into week 18.
That's so wild. Any other thoughts on this game?
I think it's frustrating just, and that feels like the word of the day, because the potential's there. It's like the dreaded P word, right? Like, they have the potential, they have, you know, all the ability in the world to hang. We just haven't seen it. And it's possible they're 1 year away and they need to reload and everything. But after the way that we saw them perform in the playoffs last season, there's reason for optimism, right? Because they kind of squeaked into the playoffs and then just were dominant against Dallas. They almost won in San Fran.
Yeah.
Like, they're close. And I think that this is a team that gets hot at the right time. So it's possible their best football is ahead of them. And if their best football is still ahead of them, I really like their chances in the playoffs. It's just, you know, we need to see it to believe it. And so far we haven't seen enough to actively estimate how far they're going to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to believe that this team has everything in its arsenal to beat any opponent. But it's hard to say that with confidence when we haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. So a lot can happen in the playoffs. But I guess at this point it's, go into week 18, make sure you win, make sure you beat the Bears, hope for a little extra assistance, and get into the dance. To be honest, I feel like everything resets in the postseason. Like, mm-hmm. We see a lot of times where you think one team has it in the bag and that's not what ends up happening. And, you know, crazy things happen, like the Packers beating Dallas, who didn't lose at all at home last season, right? So you play your best football, like you said, at the right time, and that's all that really matters. And I think that's just the only thing you can hope that they do.
Yeah, and I mean, not to keep going back to the 2010 Packers, but when the odds are stacked against you, you typically play your best. And I think that's kind of, you know, what, if you're looking for like a silver lining for this Packers team, it's that they're not the one seed anymore, right? They're not hosting the championship game at Lambeau Field, and there's expectations, and they're kind of playing with house money. They got into the dance, and that's, I'm not saying that's like good enough, you know, for this team and the aspirations that they have, but there is something freeing about getting to be the spoiler and not having the expectations of being the first or second seed and expecting to go all the way. And if you drop one, it's, you know, it's shocking. The biggest
disappointment. Yeah. I don't know if I, it's true.
All right. I think that does it for this one. A tough loss for the Packers. Obviously, we'll see where they go from here. Playing the Bears at noon on Sunday. Certainly was not a game that was going to get flexed out of any spot, but the noon slate, hosting the Bears, like we said, at Lambeau Field for the last home game of the season. And then we'll be scoreboard watching, right, at Commanders and Cowboys. But that is all we've got for today's show. We'll be back later on this week to preview the Bears game. Certainly we'll have plenty to talk about by then as we get a clearer look at who's going to be available and what that game might look like. But thank you, as always, for listening to the show and hanging out with us. Even when the games don't go the way that we want them to, you can find us at PWSS Podcast and Packs What She Said, @Perry_Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney, anywhere you find your favorite podcasts, on Blue Sky, on Twitter, on YouTube. Thanks for hanging out with us, and go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.